Good afternoon, this is Andy Baker, Director of Jazz Studies at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Looking forward to hearing your group at the 2015 Highland ASU Jazz Festival. So I will give most of my comments on the tape here, but I might write a couple of notes as well. So, making a good saxophone sound here, but I'm confused why the drummer isn't playing. The Groove Merchant, this is a tune that's completely locked in with the shuffle groove, and it's very unusual to have the top of the tune with the rest of the rhythm section in, but the drums out on a swing tune. So maybe have another think about that choice. There's lots of good things happening here, though. The shaping of the background figures in the trumpets is exactly the kind of thing we want to have. You know, right there before the sax solo, we should have a break in the drums. Stop. Then the sax solo, and we come back in with the time. As we get to the second chorus of the sax solo, I'm not real familiar with this chart, but it's hard to hear the solo over the brass figures behind it. So if we can get some more sound out the saxophone section, and you know, maybe considerably less comping in the drums. You know, if you think about it, the key to this groove is ding, ding, a ding, ding, a ding in the cymbal, and then in the left hand in the snare drum, do deck, do deck, do deck, do deck, do deck, a shuffle groove. So we don't really want so much that bass drum. And, you know, the way the drummer's playing, he's overplaying the ride cymbal, so it's crashing, and that's really having a deleterious effect on the clarity of the ensemble playing. You know, on YouTube, there's a great clip of the Thad Jones Mel Lewis band playing this black and white TV show in the mid '60s. And, you know, of course, it isn't exactly the same arrangement, but it's the arrangement this is based off. And just, you know, checking that out, particularly the way the rhythm section, the simplicity with which the rhythm section plays, would be a really important thing for your drummer to do, to listen to kind of an appropriate, a more appropriate way to accompany the band on this tune. But the saxophones did a really nice job of presenting the melody for the most part, and some good brass shaping, but the loud kind of backline dynamic of the drums made it difficult to get a lot of textural information across. So this next tune, Lil Darlin. I love this chart, and it's a great tool to instruct the band on playing like a slow swing feel. So let's see how this goes.
It's really nice that you introduce the band on a kind of more personal way. It's a good way to connect with the audience. It's appreciated. In the piano, you need to lay off the sustain pedal, just as a default position in a jazz ensemble, because otherwise you can hear the bass rumbling around in there, and it causes a lot of reverb and dissonant reverb. So you have 4 bucket mutes in the trumpet and 1 missing, and you know these things happen. But we need to find a way to shield the sound of the 4th trumpet, either by burying the bell deep in the stand, or by maybe just holding a plunger over the edge. Otherwise, that 4th trumpet voice is going to be much louder than the others. Also, balance in the saxophone section. 2nd tenor is really sticking out. In all of these held chords where they shift halfway through, those who don't move should come down to a more piano dynamic, let the shift happen so that we hear that moving clearly, and then bring the volume back up. So maybe you can hear it here, the 2nd tenor is louder than the Barry, which is, you know, that's backwards. So the drummer, a lot of the time, is doing the right thing, which is just playing quarter notes on the snare drum with the brushes. He shouldn't be filling in these phrases. Just keep the pulse going and concentrate on getting as much sound out of the brushes as you can, so we have that long quarter note sound. Original solo off the recording, it's absolutely crucial that you listen to it. You know, this is one of the more famous solos in jazz, and it's a beautiful trumpet solo, but we're not playing the correct rhythms in the first half of it, and you know, a lot of the reason why it's such a great solo is that the feel of it and the articulation and the way the 8th notes are phrased, and got to really work on recreating that by listening to the recording and matching that. You know, all of these 2-bar whole notes, we're taking them all off halfway through the 2nd bar. That's leaving a lot of space. However, the band is doing a nice job of holding the tempo down. We haven't really gained too much speed, and this is a chart that can easily rush, so that's really a good thing. We've only heard 2 of the 3 charts, but so far we are yet to have an improvised solo, and you know, at a jazz festival, obviously that is a large part of what we're looking for. So maybe encourage more improvisation in your students moving forward. In the brass, unlike cups and straights and harmons, bucket mutes actually knock the instrument flat. All the other mutes put it sharp. So just let your brass players know that when you put the bucket mute on, it's likely to be flat. And, you know, the trombone players can just make the adjustment with the slide, of course. And the trumpets, they might not be flat enough that they need to actually need to do anything with the tuning slide. But just be aware that when that pitch doesn't sound quite right, it's almost certainly going to be low rather than high. And often just knowing that that's coming is a good way to avoid it happening. I'm a big fan of Michael Philip Mossman's writing, and I've got to play with him a few times. He does a really nice job of, especially in like, you know, Latin and Afro-Cuban charts, of getting across this music in a really accessible way. Here's another opportunity for the brass to shape these long notes. You know, some crescendos and diminuendo incidents here will really reinforce the 4-bar phrases. You know, I think the thing that's most distracting about the drum set playing is the large variation in dynamic in short spaces of time. You know, when you're playing, obviously you're playing the dynamics with the ensemble, but within, you know, within 8, 16, even 32 measure periods of time, the dynamic, you know, it's going to largely remain at a consistent level. And it's almost certainly a technical thing. But here, you know, drums are way too loud. You know, there's an old adage I'm sure we're all familiar with, and it applies to whatever kind of music you're playing. If you can't hear the melody, you're playing too loud. And it's hard for me out here to hear a tune a lot of the time in this chart. I'd love to hear more percussive articulation in this bass figure that's in the bass bomb, Barry sax, and bass guitar. You know, if it's more bomb. Do dee da, do da. Much more accent on the longer sounds, and make the shorter ones exaggerate the shortness of them. It seems like we're playing over a repeated solo section and opening up for different people to blow. That's great. Just in terms of a listening point of view, we could really use the change in texture of just having a soloist with a rhythm section. You know, we've had three whole tunes of you know, the whole band playing most of the time. When we get into these solo sections, why not omit the backgrounds for the first solo, and then there'll be a sense of build as it goes on. So you would have the first solo with no background figures at all, just the solo, the tenor player and the rhythm section. And then, you know, the trumpet solo starts, we're on to the second chorus, then the backgrounds come in, there's a sense of progression. Also, the effect is that, you know, for most of that trumpet solo, I couldn't hear the soloist.
Yeah, I think a good way to improve the quality of the ensemble playing here would be to have maybe a whole rehearsal where you excuse the rhythm section and just work on unifying a bunch of these articulations and note lengths and dynamics. I imagine the drums are also very loud in your rehearsal room, and it's going to be very difficult for your horn players to come to consensus about about all those details when they can't hear each other, which I think is probably the case. And without a strong drummer laying everything down, they'll have to play with better time and be really dedicated and full of intent about the kind of musical decisions they're making in terms of note lengths and dynamics. I think that would be a really good thing to do. And just in addition to that, we only had improvisation on one tune, so it's one out of three tunes. It's maybe 30% of the, maybe 30% of that third chart was improvised, so... that's 30% of one third of your program, so whatever that means. It's a very small amount of improvisation in a program. So maybe try and redress that balance a little bit. But good ensemble things going on for the most part. Just watch the dynamic level of that back line, so your horn players have an opportunity to work with dynamics and listen to the detail between them. All right, great to hear another one of your bands. Thanks for bringing so many for the festival, and hope we'll see you again next year.